In this age of crisis in the church, with so much of the hierarchy that seems to be against faithful Catholics, how are we to respond? That's what I'm going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, just encourage people to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, but don't hit the notify button because you have a life. Also, you can follow us on social media at Crisis Mag at all the various places. So today is December 23rd, Friday. Usually I have an interview, but with Christmas coming up, I didn't schedule an interview for this week or for next week. But I just want to do another podcast, another live podcast before this week, before Christmas happens. Just in response, really, to a lot of the talk that's gone on this past week about the Frank Pavone situation. Obviously, my last podcast was about that. This podcast is not directly about what happened to Pavone and the hierarchy, what they did and things like that. This is more taking a step back. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the criticisms I receive, more from a specific situation of, okay, what is it saying about what it means to be Catholic? Now, I don't mind getting criticisms. I deserve them more than I actually get them. And so I'm not saying that people who criticize me were wrong in all these cases. It's more specifically what some people said. And more also, it's important to note that some of the criticisms I got and things people said to me are not what Frank Pavone himself would have thought or what he thinks. So I'm not trying to say anything I say here in criticism isn't directed towards him, but more just towards how we deal with a lot of this. And one of the main scripture passages that came out to me was, and I mentioned it in the last podcast, was our Lord when he's at in Matthew 10, verse 16. And he's talking, he says, he's talking to the 12, but really this is for all his disciples. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." He goes on to say, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." And one thing I want to note there is a few things. First is, he said, they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in the synagogues. That means these are religious leaders who are persecuting them. And then he talks about being dragged before governors and kings. So also secular leaders. The reason I bring that up is that when we think of persecution of Catholics, often we think of the martyrs, people who are persecuted by the state, by evil rulers who have Catholics killed or arrested, whatever the case may be. But our Lord is talking about persecution that comes, yes, from the state, but also comes from within the religious community, i.e. within the church. And that's what we're seeing today, of course. We're seeing it both aspects. But faithful Catholics are being persecuted by church leaders. We're being delivered up to councils and flogged in the synagogues. So these things are happening. Now, here's the thing. At Crisis, every single week, we have multiple articles, likely, that talk about this happening. Talk about how our church leaders are failing us, how they're corrupt, how they're heretical, how they're attacking faithful Catholics. I mean, I've written myself a lot about this. So even before I came to Crisis, I wrote 1 Peter 5. I wrote Crisis before I was the editor about these problems. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm diminishing that these things aren't actually happening, that there aren't, you know, in fact, I'm saying, yes, they definitely very much are happening in the church. But there comes a point where that's not interesting to talk about anymore. That's not interesting to just keep on saying that every time something like this happens, yes, we should acknowledge how terrible it is, how scandalous it is. But is that the only thing we want to talk about, is how bad they are? I mean, we definitely want to talk about that at times, but that can't be the fullness of our conversation about this. It can't just be, look how bad they are, how terrible they're treating us. It also has to be, how are we responding to that? How are we being wise as serpents and innocent as doves? I think that's the more interesting question, frankly, to me, because that's what my salvation depends on. My salvation does not depend upon how terrible church leaders treat me and my kind. My salvation depends on how I respond to it, how I act in the midst of persecution. And I think at times we're not wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And I think we need to be. What does that mean? So I think the first thing is we talk about innocent as doves, that we need to be faithful. If we're innocent as doves, we need to be faithful to the teachings of the church. We need to be faithful to the practices of the traditional practices of the church. We need to be innocent as doves. And what does that mean? I think in this specific situation that we often encounter today is the crisis of obedience, understanding what obedience is. Now, I got a number of criticisms from people who said I was just, in my criticism, in my article about Pavone and that whole situation, that I was just trumpeting a blind obedience. One person even said I was being like, I was like the Catholics in Nazi Germany, just going along with whatever the leadership said. Now, anybody who's read any of my articles or heard my podcast over the years knows I do not subscribe to blind obedience. I have been very critical of it. I've written multiple articles, had multiple podcasts, had Peter Kwasniewski on talking about this. I'm not for blind obedience. But I do think we have to have a very good understanding of what obedience is. What are the limits? What are the boundaries? And so I got one of the criticisms, I got one of the emails said, basically, saving babies is more important than obeying the orders of a corrupt bishop. And that one struck me. That's not, by the way, Pavone's position himself. He says he's being obedient, so let's be clear about that. But this person was saying, it was a Catholic, was saying that the cause, the pro-life cause, which I will say is so important. I've literally been arrested for it. I've been actively pro-life for 30 years now. So I don't diminish how important it is. I've talked about it a lot. In fact, one thing I will say just as an aside, my worst performing articles and podcasts are ones about the pro-life movement. I don't really know why that is. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of interest in talking about that among Catholics even. Maybe we just feel like we know it. There's no new ground. I don't know what the point is. But what I'm trying to say is, like, yes, pro-life cause is supremely important. But the idea that saving babies is more important than obeying the orders of a corrupt bishop is actually wrong. It's actually non-Catholic. It's a very Protestant way of looking at things. Luther would say something very similar. But as Catholics, that's not what we should say. That's not what we believe. There's a saying that goes, even a venial sin is worse than the destruction of the world. That's a true statement. It's a radical, even scandalizing statement, but it's a true statement. And what it means is to disobey God, to sin against God, is infinitely worse than any physical evils that might happen, anything like the destruction of the world, or even the murder of an unborn child, which, of course, that's a sin for the person doing it, people involved in it. But the point is that we have to be faithful, even in the midst of, no matter what's going on around us. We have to try to be as sin-free as possible. We need to be innocent as doves. And so what we need to do when we talk about these issues, about obedience, we really have to narrow down, okay, is it a legitimate command? And if it is, we have to obey it. Period. That's it. It doesn't matter if the legitimate command is being given for bad reasons or if the legitimate command is being given by somebody who is an evil person. That's like almost like a Donatist-like argument, like sacraments aren't valid if the priest is in mortal sin or something like that. No, a legitimate command from a legitimate authority, we have to obey it no matter what the other things going on around it are. And so, therefore, we can't just say this cause is more important than obeying a corrupt bishop. Let me give an analogy here. Let's say a priest has been running a soup kitchen for 30 years. He feels a real call to the poor, and he's been serving them for so long and doing wonderful work at the soup kitchen. One day, he's a diocesan priest. One day, he gets a new bishop, and that bishop hates the poor. Just, you know, he just hates the poor. And so he basically tells that priest, you have to go. I'm going to assign you a parish hours away out in the middle of nowhere. I'm shutting down this soup kitchen because I don't like it. So clearly that bishop is acting under bad intentions and he's not being faithful to his own commands, his own duties and obligations as a bishop. Clearly, he's going to be judged for that. When he dies, he's in big trouble. But the priest involved, he needs to obey that order, and he needs to do it because his faithfulness is more important than the people he's going to help at the soup kitchen. He's going to need to be faithful. That's what God is judging him on. He's not judging him on how are you in comparison to the bishop, because he's obviously better. He's judging him on basically, are you faithful? And so he would have to follow that command, no matter how important, how called he felt to the soup kitchen, to the poor. And so when we get upset about these things, which that is the proper response, is to get upset about these things. And as I said it in my last podcast, what the Vatican and the bishops have done to Pavone is terrible. And what they do to so many of these canceled priests is terrible. But how we react to it, how we look at it, has to be through Catholic principles, not just through our emotions and being part of the party, one side. In fact, that kind of segues me into my next point, which is the dangers of being a party Catholic, the dangers of being, okay, it's one of our people, and so we have to defend him no matter what. And just to be clear, Frank Pavone is on my side, the same side as I am. I mean, I'm on his side, I guess is a better way to put it, in the sense of all his work for the unborn, all his work over the years. Definitely, we're on the same team. Now, I do think loyalty is important. You don't throw people under the bus. People said that I threw Pavone under the bus. I don't feel like I did that because I actually defended him in many ways. We don't throw people under the bus. We are loyal. But there's a difference between loyalty and being a party Catholic. Being a party Catholic means even when you feel like somebody on your side has done something wrong, you won't say it because it will help the other side. But the fact is if somebody on your side does something wrong, he or she has already given ammunition to the other side. And by denying that it happened, or denying that it's even worse, denying that it's wrong, that just gives further ammunition. And it's not being faithful to Christ either. And so I'm not going to be somebody who refuses to criticize people on our side. People never like it that how much I've criticized Donald Trump over the years. And I will continue to. I mean, he just recently had some big event for the gay Republicans. I mean, Vigano even criticized him for it. I'm not going to just simply, and I don't think any of us should simply refuse to criticize our own people. That's not the same thing as throwing them under the bus. It just is acknowledging that because we need to be innocent as doves, we need to be wise as serpents in being willing to admit when somebody on our side isn't always doing the right thing. And I also saw like some people like Phil Lawler came out, who former editor of Crisis, great guy. He came out pretty strongly against Pavone, more so than I did. And I wasn't really against him. I don't know if Lawler is either, but he was pretty critical. And I saw some Catholics who were just railing on him as being an establishment Catholic. How dare he, you know, basically he's always been like basically controlled opposition anyway. I'm like, come on, guys. It's okay to have a different opinion on this. Like I mentioned in my last podcast, some of my good friends have a different opinion than I do on this Pavone situation. I highly respect them, and I think you should listen to them. Like Pavone was on Taylor Marshall's show. Highly recommend you go ahead and listen to it. So Kennedy Hall has said some good things about this stuff, and others have said good things about this that I don't agree with even always, but it's good stuff to hear. Let's not say anybody who doesn't go in lockstep with the way we think should be done is controlled opposition. I mean, that's ridiculous to think that Phil Lawler, who has done so much over the years to defend the church, and he was an early person coming out against the abuse crisis, and people were attacking him for that as well. And he was against the COVID regime. He has been strongly opposed to when Pope Francis does terrible things. He's not controlled opposition. He's one of us. Let's not act like he is. Let's not treat him like he is. That's another thing where we're going to basically, we're not being wise as serpents when we do that. So I think ultimately, I think that the important part is here is, number one, we have to be Catholic, which means we don't do things like a Republican might, or a Democrat might, or a Protestant might, or a Muslim might, or a Jew might. We do the things as Catholics would. And Catholics, what comes above all else is faithfulness to Christ's command and to the teachings of the church. And so if the teachings of the church suggest that that we have to obey a bishop when he says certain things, and we don't have to bishop on everything. Like I made the example, the bishop says you have to wear a mask at mass, that he doesn't have a right to do that. You don't have to obey that. But if the bishop reassigns a priest, yeah, the priest has to obey that ultimately. He can make appeals, but he has to obey that. So I think this is important. Oh, a good question just came up in the live chat. Join us in the live chat if you're watching this live. But John says, the church is taught that a heretic loses his office. If a bishop is expressly a heretic by contradicting common known doctrine, do you think we still need to obey that bishop? Well, I think it's debatable, that first statement. The church is taught that the heretic loses his office. I think it's more correct to say that a bishop who has been judged a heretic by the church loses his office. And that's an important distinction. In other words, I can't judge that a bishop is a definitive heretic and therefore has lost his, I can't judge that he's lost his office. Only the church can do that. And so if a bishop, like let's say a Cardinal Cupich or something like that, or Cardinal Gregory, who's been known to say terrible things and is likely heretical, they're still in office. And so we still have to obey their legitimate commands. So if Cardinal Cupich, for example, who probably is the worst American bishop and almost, I mean, he clearly is a heretic. He has not lost his office by the authorities of the church, which is greater than what anything I would say or you would say, a lay person would say. So he still has his office. So if he reassigns priests, they do have to obey him, even though they know Cupich is terrible. So we do still have to obey bishops who are in office. We cannot judge them to be out of office. So I think that's a very important point. Another point this is another good question. Genevieve asks, I agree with you on the Pavone issue, but can you distinguish between obedience in the Pavone case versus the Latin Mass case that Dr. K, Peter Kwasniewski, discusses? Is it because of the concept of a just order? This is a great question. Actually, Peter Kwasniewski and I were on the phone earlier this week talking about this. And I think that the key aspect, and I don't want to speak for Dr. K, but I'm pretty sure he's in the same boat with me on this issue, on the Pavone issue, but I definitely don't take my word for it. He needs to say that. But we had a lot of agreement on the phone, on our phone conversation. And essentially the key point here is this. Is the command being given, is it in any way violate God's law? A reassignment to a new position never does that. I mean, I guess if you said you're going to be the chaplain for Planned Parenthood, that would. But if you're reassigning somebody to a parish, that's never against God's law. And it's just a disciplinary measure, discipline not in a negative way, but just like the discipline of the church, how the church is run. You got to obey that. Now, the Latin Mass situation where a bishop tells a priest, you may not celebrate the Latin Mass, that goes, in my view, and in Peter Kwasniewski's view, that goes against God's law, because this is the church's liturgy for over a thousand years, saying you can't celebrate that anymore. They do not have the legitimate authority to say that. They totally have the legitimate authority to tell a priest to move from one assignment to another. They don't have the legitimate authority to say you can't celebrate a Mass that Pope Benedict himself said was never abrogated and can't be abrogated and has been the worship of the church. Now, you could go a lot more deep into it, and I'd recommend Dr. Kwasniewski's books on it, but that's the general overview. So we need to be Catholic. And another aspect of this that I think is an important point to make is, and I brought this up in my book, Holiness for Everyone, which was just reissued recently by Sophia Institute Press. Buy it at your local Catholic bookstore. But in Holiness for Everyone, I have a section talk about we need to be apostles, not activists. This is an important point as well. We tend to, in our modern world, want to be activists. We see a lot of problems in the world, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, problems in the church with heresies like that. And we tend to want to be, this is an American problem, we tend to want to be activists, meaning we want to work to solve that problem. And the problem, though, is that we're called to be apostles, not activists. What I mean by that, lowercase a apostle, we're obviously not called to be the 12 apostles or even a bishop. What I mean by this, that is this. There's a great book called Soul of the Apostolate that talks about this. our work in the world should be the outflowing of our spiritual lives. That's what an apostle does. He has his spiritual life is in order. He is praying every day, praying the rosary every day, praying mental prayer every day, reading the sacred scriptures, receiving the sacraments. All of those things come first. And out of that, he will feel a call and he will outflow from that into maybe some outside work, some exterior work outside, you know, activism, you know, not really activism, but like working in the world, trying to stop abortion, trying to help the poor, whatever the case may be. An activist puts his activities in the world as first, and the spiritual life comes second, and it's more of just like part of that, but not really the outflow of it. And so the activist starts to consider his work as an activist as the most important thing in the world, that's what God is calling him to do. Now, God is calling you to be holy, and in your holiness, you will do work. I've seen a lot of times in the Protestant world, to be honest, this is a big problem, that you get a lot of activists who are involved in the Protestant world, and their activism becomes first. And as Catholics, we can't let that happen. And so no matter what work you are doing in the world, whether it be pro-life work, for the poor, whatever the case may be, it's not the most important thing you do. The most important thing you do is your vocation and growing in holiness and being an apostle. And so I think that's a key part of, that's a key part of it being, of being Catholic in this world, is that we, our spiritual lives, our spiritual priorities are always first, and our work in the world is an outflowing of that. Okay, so I'm going to cut it off here. This is going to be a relatively short one. Everybody can get back to getting ready for Christmas, having a blessed end of their Advent season. But I just want to encourage people to take a step back, not let our emotions get too much of us in this. I know it's an emotional situation. I understand the knee-jerk reaction, and it is mine too, is to anger. When I first heard about Pavone being laicized, my first reaction was anger. And I think that's a legitimate thing. It's my first reaction when I hear about other priests being canceled and other people being shut down and whatever happens in the Vatican. All those things, definitely it's anger. But we have to take a step back and allow, not let our emotions run free, but instead look at the big picture and say, how can we be wise as serpents and innocent as doves in this? And the innocent as doves, that's the hard part. But we also have to be wise as serpents. And so we can be prudent. How do we work around these situations? How do we work within a corrupt church? That's what we have to really pray and fast over. Well, okay, everybody, I'm going to wrap it up there. I just want to encourage people to have a blessed and holy Christmas. Really, we have 2 days left. Really embrace preparing for it these last couple of days, and just rejoice. Because even in the midst of all this stuff going on in the world, our Savior comes. Our Savior comes to save us. He knows what's going on better than we do, and yet he still comes to save us. And he comes as a little child. And so we can become little children like him and follow him the best we can. Okay, everybody, until next time, God love you.